So tonight we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So just by way of an introduction to our sermon tonight, I want to ask the question, why pray? After all, God knows what we're thinking, so why go through the motions of telling him? We pray to God because we are in a relationship with him. If we didn't speak to God, it would be a clear sign that we didn't value spending time with him. If we don't pray to our Heavenly Father, how can our relationship with him grow? Quite simply, it can't grow. The same rule can be applied to Bible reading. We cannot grow if we are not listening to God through his word. So in tonight's main reading, we had two men who went to pray. One man's prayer pleased God, and the other man's prayer did not please God. So tonight we will examine in a little more detail who these two men were and why their prayers were received so differently by God. So just by way of an introduction to the two groups that the men belonged to, I want you to turn just back a couple of pages to Luke 15, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 7. The parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And if we could turn on just another page to Luke 16, verses 13 to 15. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. So what can we learn about the tax collectors and the Pharisees from these two readings? In the parable of the lost sheep, who is it who gathers to hear Jesus' teaching? It is the tax collectors and the sinners who gather. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law were muttering that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. One might have expected the Pharisees to be with Jesus. After all, they were religious. And you would have expected the tax collectors to be muttering about Jesus. After all, they collected taxes for Rome. Jesus then teaches the people using a parable about a lost sheep and a shepherd who goes to find that one lost sheep. This parable is a picture of repentance and God's desire to save sinners. and heaven's joy over each one that repents. A joy that the Pharisees and teachers of the law did not seem to share. They felt it was wrong for Jesus to eat with tax collectors and sinners. In the second short reading that we just had, Jesus addresses the Pharisees and tells them that they cannot serve two masters. They will love for one and despise the other. Jesus makes it clear that the two masters in mind are God and money. We are told that the Pharisees loved money. How did they respond to Jesus' teaching? Did they repent? No, they sneered at Jesus. Jesus rebukes them for justifying themselves and tells them the things that people value are detestable in God's sight. You see, they do not value the things God values, but their own wealth, influence, and status. So hopefully this has been a helpful introduction to who and what we're looking at tonight. So now getting back into our main text for tonight, Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. So looking at verse 9, this tells us who Jesus was speaking to, who his main target audience was. He was speaking to those who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on others. So when the two men, the Pharisee and the tax collector, arrive at the temple, what do we see in verse 11? The Pharisee stood by himself. I imagine the Pharisee probably chose quite a prominent place because he would have come to the temple to be seen, to be doing his religious works. So if he was here tonight, he'd probably be on the platform here, making sure that he was seen. And he'd probably be giving me some funny looks. and so then he prays, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Notice here that the NIV says that the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed God. It doesn't say that he prayed to God, but clearly God was the intended recipient. Just for a few minutes, I want to read to you how this is put in the New King James Version. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. The New King James tells us here he prayed thus with himself. And just one more comparison. The New American Standard Bible reads, the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. We have looked here at three good translations of the Bible. The idea that the Pharisee wasn't just standing alone to pray, but was ultimately praying to himself, comes through very clearly in the more literal word-for-word translations. And certainly, the context that follows would bear out this idea that the Pharisee was not praying in a godly way. In some ways, we can understand what the Pharisee was saying. I am glad that I am not a robber, an evildoer, or adulterer. I think that's something to be glad to not be those things. And I know I can certainly say by the grace of God, but I'm glad that I'm not known for these things. So I really can understand what the Pharisee says there. But the problem with the Pharisee's prayer is that there is no acknowledgement of his own sin. There's no acknowledgement of any sin in his prayer at all, apart from that of other people's. to the point that he turns his attention to the tax collector, to a fellow worshipper in the temple, a sinner who is seeking God who is merciful, and saying, I am glad I am not like this tax collector. Where is the Pharisee's compassion? He doesn't appear to have any compassion for the lost. He also has no idea he himself is lost. And that as the tax collector moves closer to God, the Pharisee, it appears, is as far from God now as ever. A point for application here. Do we ever look down on others? Do we look down on fellow Christians at the sin in their lives, believing our lives are better? As another of Jesus' parables said, why do you look for the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Let us not be a people who look down on others because of their sin, and instead be a people who show care for others, especially when they are turning towards God. Verse 12, the Pharisee moves on from pointing out other people's sin to praying about his good works, his religious works. Luke 18 verse 12 reads, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Here we see it, the reason Jesus was telling the parable. Here is a person who is trusting in their own righteousness. A person basically saying, look at me, God, look at my works, I am worthy. Let's make sure we don't follow the way of this Pharisee and try to earn God's favour by our works. We must ensure we trust only in Christ's works and let our acts of service flow from there. Jesus' teaching earlier in the Gospel of Luke, I just want to read just one verse from Luke 11. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Jesus has already told the Pharisees what they lack, a love for God, and that they neglect justice. Giving a tenth of all they had was indeed a good thing, but the practice is useless if there is no love for God or concern for justice. They need both. How about us? Do our good works flow from a love for God and concern for justice? Authentic Christian faith comes from a love for God. Let's not neglect that love for God and love for others by becoming religious people pursuing religious works. Over time, even in a wonderful fellowship like this, things can change. So let's spur each other on to love God and each other as we are doing, and continue to be witnesses to the true and authentic faith we profess. Let's turn our attention now to the prayer of the tax collector. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. This would certainly not have been a prominent place. I think if he was here, he'd probably be somewhere behind the coats at the back. So he certainly didn't want to be seen in the temple. And he would not even look up to heaven. And instead, he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Notice here that the tax collector stands at a distance. He can't bear to look towards God. He asks for God's mercy because he knows he is a sinner and that God is holy. This prayer is the complete opposite of the Pharisee's prayer. The Pharisee trusts that his own righteousness is enough to please God, but the tax collector knows he is spiritually bankrupt before God. He has nothing to offer God, so simply asks for God's mercy. The Pharisee is proud and willing to go on in his own pride and feeling of worthiness before God, whilst the tax collector knows there is nowhere else to go. Only the grace of God can save him. There is no other plan, no other way. The tax collector has reached the end of himself and can only now look to God. As I was preparing this part of the sermon, my mind went to King David in Psalm 51. And I'll just read the first four verses. For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. I know this is an extreme example. The context of this psalm was written in. David had not only slept with Bathsheba, but had also had her husband Uriah killed. David's sin was great. David's only hope was God's mercy. David knew this. He did not come armed with excuses for his actions. How aware are we of our sin? I'm sure there is no one here who has done what David did, and I'm not aware of any as pompous as a Pharisee or as crooked as a Roman tax collector. Our sin may look different, but we must take our sin seriously. We might not have murdered, committed adultery, or stolen, but all sin is rebellion against God. Our sin is so serious that it meant that Jesus Christ had to go to the cross to die for our sin so that there would be a way that we could be saved. We must come to God asking for his grace and mercy, knowing it is only the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us from our sin, only his resurrection that gives us hope of a new life with him, and his ascension and promised return that gives us a sure and certain hope of eternal life in his kingdom with him. In short, what does this passage teach us about God? Verse 14 of our main reading back in Luke 18 now. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. The first part of verse 14 tells us that God justifies the tax collector as he heads home, but not the Pharisee. This may have surprised many in the first century. Certainly the religious leaders would not have been happy with Jesus' teaching. But Jesus was showing and telling the people what God was like, that God is merciful to those who call on him, but not at all impressed with the self-righteous. James 4 verse 6 tells us, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What does this passage teach us about ourselves? Our righteousness must come from Jesus Christ. We cannot establish our own righteousness and press on from there. We must first come to Jesus Christ, confess our sins, and call him Lord and Saviour. We don't do this just once at conversion, but each day and each hour. I'm not talking about a perpetual altar call, but instead an attitude of repentance and faith towards God, praying always for the Holy Spirit's enabling to live a life of faith, pleasing to him. I love the hymn, Rock of Ages, particularly the second verse. Not the labours of my hands can fulfil thy law's commands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, thou must save, and thou alone. Our labours, the law, our zeal, and our tears are not bad things, but we must understand that they do not save us, and that it is by grace and mercy of God alone that we are saved through faith in him.